Hear the cry of a baby on a cold, cold night. The star above the stable provides his only light. Someone says he was born of the Jews, just as prophesied. Then Mary looks into the manger and says he has his father's eyes. She said he can see tomorrow. He knows what the future holds. He's taken a long look down through time. This is what he chose, to be born tonight in Bethlehem, heaven's holy prize, that all men might receive their sight. He has his father's eyes. 33 years have passed since that cold, cold night. The sky has turned to darkness. There is no light. Someone's pointing to the sign. King of the Jews, she hears them cry. Then Mary looks up to the cross and says, oh, he has his father's eyes. She said he can see tomorrow. He knows what the future holds. He's taken a long look down through time. This is what he chose, to be nailed here on a rugged cross and sacrifice his life, that all men might receive their sight. He has his father's eyes. He has his father's eyes.
Amen. All right, if you want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. I was getting ready for tonight, and God placed another burden on my heart to be able to present to you tonight. And I don't know, you could call this a dad talk. I would call it a dad talk. Has anybody ever had a dad talk before? Tim, have you ever given a dad talk? Never? I doubt that. I think one thing that we struggle through in life is change. Does everybody agree with that? And one of those changes is when people come and they go. And we have a hard time understanding that. Through the 37 years that Grace has been in existence, people have come and they have gone. And it's not something that you can count on your fingers and toes. We are way past that. We've had whole families being able to go. I mean, the Bentleys, you know, you came and you went, and then you're back again. And that's the great thing about Taylorville. That's usually what happens. You try to go, and you come back. Everybody says it's your greatest goal in life to get out of Taylorville, and you come back. So, but you know, change is difficult. Change is hard. And ironically, I think Sarah's in the nursery, so she doesn't have to go through this tonight. But Joe is down in West Virginia, I imagine. But here we are, we're losing a good family. You agree with that? Yeah. We're losing a good family that are very, very involved. And has it been tough on you? It's been super tough on me. I just remember back during the pandemic. How dare they? I got a text from Joe, and he says that he was being promoted. I was like, well, that's exciting. I love it. I love to share in the joy of people getting promoted in their jobs. Love that. That's awesome. And then he says, but I got to move to Alabama. And here's my response. Here's my text. After rewriting it about 15 times. I have super mixed emotions about this. I am happy and excited for you, but I also want to cry in a selfish way. And then I put this in parentheses. This lockdown is making me more emotional because it seemed like everybody was gone all the time. Couldn't see anybody except for through that camera. And that was frustrating, by the way. It's really hard to preach through a camera. But yet he let us know this, and we were going to be starting back up, you know, not too long after this text. And I'm thinking, man, I hope they can hold off until we can start meeting together again. And it didn't sound like it. Well, they've stuck around for a little while. It's been almost a year, but it doesn't make it any easier, I don't think. It's coming, and sometimes we get distracted with things. We have desires to spend more and more time with them and to love them through this. And I hope you got to go and eat some food and say hello and to the Leonard family. But I just want to share with you some of the things that I've been working through. And even in this past week, Missions Conference has been a huge challenge to me. There was something that Archie, and multiple things that Archie Perez said that really challenged me. And as you know, I've worked through some change in my lifetime in coming here, but yet also going to all the different places that God's called me to go. So as you go through this, you know, this is what I was working through. Joe tells me this, that they're leaving, and they're going to Alabama. And now they're not going to Alabama, folks. They're now going to West Virginia. It's changed. But, you know, this is what I was thinking. I was thinking, man, Carson is just about to get in the youth group. I was hoping to see him grow up. And Abigail, she's a future youth grouper. And she actually came out and hung out with us during the summer in our youth group for a little while. And I'm thinking, man, it's so exciting to hear these kids sing. I was hoping for one more tonight, but they weren't up for impromptu. But I was just, everything was going through my mind. I was hoping to watch these kids grow up. But then you go to Sarah, and you think, man, she's involved in everything. How do you replace someone like that? She's involved with the ladies' fellowship. She's involved in heading the nursery, and she's here all the time. She's involved in, I don't know how many friendships. And then you got Joe. And Joe, he's involved in discipleship. He's pastor's, you know, right-hand man. He was my co-team captain for All Church VBS when I first got here. He was in the choir. He had just joined the choir. I mean, just all these things that were running through my head, and I'm thinking, why, God? Why are you changing this up? Why are you messing with my timeline here? Why are you messing with my plans? Why are you messing with my goals and my dreams? And I was struggling with all of this. For some of you, you've never moved before. You've been in Taylorville or Hewittville or Pena or wherever you're at. You're probably still living in the same house that you were born in, okay? So some of you, you really don't understand what moving is about. But moving is emotional. Moving is tough. And when you get displaced and learning a whole new thing, a whole new way of living, because believe me, Illinois is very different than Michigan. They're both liberal states, but they both got horrible football programs right now. But anyway, my father-in-law is here, so I could say that. There's a different way of living. I went from out in the middle of nowhere to Taylorville. It's a kind of, you know, a big place once you go from out in the middle of nowhere. And it's a different way of living, different people, and you're working through all of this, and I'm thinking, God, why? They were doing great here. Why move them on? What's going on here? And if you truly believe in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, read that with me. I mean, it's just from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you truly believe in that verse? In the sense that every single person that is here tonight, that is a part of our church, every single person is important and carries a function. And you feel this verse whenever someone moves away. You feel what's happening where every single person has their function coming together, making things happen for the building of the body, for progression, for the edification of itself. We're working together in unity. We struggle with that. All of a sudden, one piece of the building is taken away from this local church. And we miss that. There's change. There's transition. There's replacement. We're going through that. We feel that as a church. If you don't feel that as a church, then maybe you aren't practicing church. Maybe you aren't involved in the one another's. We felt this when COVID hit, when Missions Conference was here, and we decided to close down the international dinner, and hey, we're going to go all virtual, and thank God that we had the capabilities to be able to do that. We praise God for that, right? But then when this building is pretty active, no, not like the building itself, but like during the week when we're here, people are coming and going all the time. During COVID, that changed. And you're not seeing people, and that affects you. That affects your way of life. We were built to be a part of a community. That's the way that God intended us for to be. We were built for this. We were built to have a community, a body to be a part of, to help one another, to not be independent, but to love one another, to build up one another, to confront one another, to exhort one another, all these one another's. And so we felt that during COVID. We felt that. The Leonards is not the only family that we've lost during COVID. We lost the Love All family. And it was becoming a joy to be able to see those two little boys come in and just, I mean, they just come in and give me a hug, and it didn't matter about COVID. Some of these kids, it was awesome just to be able to know these kids cared and loved Jesus, and it was impacting their parents coming and telling me about it, during the week and saying, hey, they're talking about Jesus. That's amazing. I love to be a part of that. But then they decided to move to the free state of Missouri, okay? And I felt that. I felt that. Some of you felt that. Kimberly, you worked really hard to get her to come to this church. And we feel those aspects. We felt it when Madison left and went down to that evil south, okay? All right, there's hospitals around here, for crying out loud, all right? But we felt that. We felt that in our Sunday school class when a voice left, when a friend left. Our Sunday school class grew more over COVID than any other time, I believe. And we missed it when she left. There's others, when college students leave, we feel that. We miss people in the choir, and we miss people in Sunday school. We miss people involved in so many things. Sometimes we take each other for granted, don't we? And we show up when they've left or they've passed on. God's taken them home. Then we finally understand how important their function was. And I think that's the beauty of the church too, because when you're working so unified, when you're working together and loving each other, sometimes it's just that natural thing. Hey, we work well together. We're not clinking, you know, we're not breaking down like some of our vehicles do. It's working. We don't think about all the different parts in our vehicle until they start whining, correct? I mean, when the tire's flat, then you're, oh, yeah, I need that, okay? I need to air that up. I mean, that can become the beauty of the church. And if you aren't feeling that, I'm sorry. I really am sorry that people don't get to feel the beauty of community and church. And if that's you on the camera through live stream watching this, find a way to get to your community. Find a way to be a part of it and to understand what that verse is. Every single person coming together. So when things like this happen, do you have feelings that come up? Naming off some of the negative ones. We feel sadness. Sometimes we feel desperation. Sometimes we feel worry. Sometimes we feel angry. Have you ever been in that spot where anger has welled up because you felt like you were abandoned in that moment? These are natural things that we work through. Do we want to stay in those spots? No. Those are the negative side effects that we could run into as we deal with these transitions. But you know, the positive is joy. I can have joy that God is going to do wonderful things with the Leonard family. I can have joy that he has a plan for each one of them. I can hope and love the fact that God can see. He has eyes that can see into tomorrow, that can see into West Virginia, that can see all over the place. I mean, that's something that you've probably dealt with in your children. Some of your children probably live nearby, but some of them don't. And sometimes you go into those struggles, but yet, did you remember when Archie brought up how his dad responded to him going to Uruguay? Do you remember what happened? He goes to his dad. I don't think he was saved, right? Is that where it was? But he goes to his dad, and he's in Texas at that point, and he says, "Dad, we're going to Uruguay." And his dad says, "Okay, when you getting back?" And he says, "We're going to start planting churches down there." And then he pushes pretty hard. And he says, "Well, is everybody saved in Texas, in Dallas? Did you finish the job?" Like, that's the way it's supposed to happen, okay? We're going to finish the job in Taylorville and move on. Is that what Paul did? Did everybody get saved in Corinth before he left? Okay, but yet that was the thought process that was going on. And do you imagine, I mean, think if you were in Archie's shoes at that point. Dad's pressing. "Well, you know, you're right. Not everybody's saved in Dallas. I might as well stay here. But God is calling. God is moving. God is pushing. Should we say no to God and yes to Dad?" And I was excited that Archie did conquer that struggle, those emotions, because I can't wait to go down and visit what they've got going on in Uruguay. And the next time that a Uruguay missions trip comes up, half of you should be signing up, okay? If you didn't feel the excitement from our team that came back, and I mean, aside from Armin getting kissed by everybody in the church, I mean, everybody was excited, okay? And that was weird. That was hard to get used to. But yet, all the excitement of what was going on, what God was doing, and if Archie hadn't said yes to God and said no to, to what was happening and how he was being called, what would have happened down south? Well, we have no idea, because that's not what happened. But he followed what God had told him to do, to leave what was comfortable, to leave what was known, to go and transition a change into a place where he had no idea. I mean, Ruth was from Uruguay, but not from this area. So even in her knowledge and her understanding and her comfort level, she didn't have that going down to Uruguay. And so they're starting out fresh. They're starting out brand new, going around and meeting people that they have no idea who they are. Well, you know, it would have been a lot easier if I would have just stayed where family was. Oh, I imagine that thought ran through their mind so many times. So many times. I wonder how many times they were tempted to run back. Tempted to give up. And yet God has done so many wonderful things through their servant heart and their willingness to go through the change. And now, what did he say? Grace Baptist Church is now a great-grandmother or a grandmother, because their church has started a church plant, and then that church plant has started another church plant. And wow, praise God, 25 years that they have been in Uruguay, and look at what God is doing. So when we go through that, and that thought process of struggling through what is going on, God, what are you doing here? And yet, going to this point of watching what God has done with Archie, now I've come to this place, and I'm trying to help you come to this place of understanding that God is taking functioning believers from our church, because at this point, God's plan is for them to not be here, but in another church that God has planned for them to blossom and to love others and to further his glory. So that's when our emotions, based on truth, can change from sadness, desperation, worry, anger, fill in the blanks, folks, to, God, you've got this. I'm at peace with what you are doing. So is transition okay? Yes, it is. Transition is totally okay. Go to John chapter 16 and verse 7. And I didn't put this up on the screen so you can practice turning in your Bible, okay? John chapter 16 and verse 7. Do you know who transitioned? Who helped us in leading through change? It was Jesus Christ. In John 16, 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." You get what's going on here? He's in that moment where it would be pretty emotional to leave 12 guys or the following that's there, whoever's around in that moment, and to leave those guys and to say, "Hey, I got to go to heaven. There's a moment in time here that I have got to go back to where I came from, and once I am gone, then the next step happens. The next step of growth, the Comforter will come, the Holy Spirit, who they won't just have Jesus who's right there with them, but they will have deity living within them." And so they can go to a totally different town where Jesus wasn't. And be comforted by God Himself, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within them as believers. This is what needed to happen. He sets an example of there will be change in our lives. There will be transition. People will come and people will go. And you know what's positive about this is the fact that God always has a plan for us. Sometimes something needs to be stripped away before you can understand the next step. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? I mean, something had to be taken away from you for you to understand what your next step is. When you were a child and you were learning how to ride your bike and you had those training wheels on, it's really hard to give those up because you can go really, really fast. But when you give those up, then you find out that you can go even faster. You just might have a few bumps and bruises along the way, okay? You'll start to grow up and to get into a bigger and better bike, a fancier bike. And then you become a big boy and you get into a truck, right? And then it gets more costly. But anyway, we won't go that route. But I mean, there's a growth step. We have to let go of certain things in order to be able to enjoy what's next. A toddler needs to get rid of those diapers so he can enjoy not having to sit in it anymore. You get what I'm saying? That's where my mindset is. I'm a young guy who has kids, okay? So just deal with it, all right? If you don't know what that's about, just come over to my house for a week and you'll figure out what that's about, okay? And so when we go into that next step, Jesus is setting the standard here. Listen, this is going to happen, but something better is coming for you. I got to trust in that. I got to go back to what, Pastor said this morning, trust. Because if I've got all these emotions that are aroused up, I'm not trusting God, am I? Am I fretting? Or trusting? You say, well, he's Jesus, he's perfect, so he does everything right. And give me another example. Perfect. Acts chapter 6 and verses 1 through 7. And it'll be up on the screen for you so we can go a little bit quicker through this. But it says there, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You say, what's going on here? There was a problem in the church. There was a need in the church. Things needed to be done. There was things that weren't happening, that should be happening, that needed to be taken care of. And the disciples of Christ, they couldn't take care of it, because they needed to focus on the word of God and prayer. And so they the church got together, they found men who were sold out for God, who wanted to do what God wanted them to do, and they took over this. You say, perfect. It's always great when we set into stone people into certain ministries, and they will be there for the rest of their lives. There will never be any issues. There will never be any change up. I just love that fact, right? Is that how it works? Is that the way that it stayed? Well, a couple of those guys, what happens with them? Transition. Stephen, how long was he a deacon? How long was he in this position? Not very long, folks. You go into Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Would you have peace like Stephen did? But God, we just set him up in a position. We just put we just got his name tag printed out. We chiseled it out because they didn't have printers back then, okay? We chiseled it out, you know, a hammer and tool, and so they could put it on there, and it said, you know, Deacon Stephen or whatever they wanted to do. And they had it all set up. They just put his name in the lineup, in the schedule, okay? He was going to be on the fourth Sunday of the month, okay? That's what he was going to be doing. They got it all together, and he's out doing the work of God. He's preaching the gospel. He's giving the truth. People couldn't stand God's work being done. Couldn't stand it. So what did they do? They took care of him. But God, what are you doing? Sometimes people have to be taken away for the next step. I thought it was interesting that as one man of God was taken from this earth, as he enjoyed the presence of God, I mean, the peace, you saw it in the scripture that was laid out before you. But in the next phrase that was given in one of those verses, and they laid their coats at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Sometimes, though we don't understand, sometimes when it doesn't make sense, sometimes we just react, but yet God has a plan, and it was like they were just giving a little teaser there to let you know that someone was coming. God was going to be moving in this man's life who had just experienced, who was just a part of stoning Stephen. He was right there watching it being done, taking pleasure on it, then going out to go and take care of some more. And yet on his way, God steps in. Someone transitioned. Stephen. Something changed. Stephen. I wonder how many people fretted after that moment. And yet, God was ushering in a new man that he would use for his honor and glory to spread the gospel throughout the known empire. God's got a plan, folks. God has his reasons. You go on to Philip, another one of those men. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip, did you notice that last verse? Can you go back, Carlton? Therefore they that were scattered abroad. There was a lot of change and transition going on with the early church. They're going everywhere. And they weren't running around like this. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? They were preaching the word everywhere. I wonder how good the church of today is doing at this. COVID, 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 COVID. Biden, Biden, Biden. I don't know, whatever you want to put in there. We throw so many words in there to fret and to freak out. And you know who we're not preaching when we're going around with our hands on our head wondering what's going on? We're not preaching the word. We're not preaching hope. We're not preaching the gospel. Lives are being smashed because of our complaining and our fretting instead of being lifted up through God's gospel, being changed for the positive. This should be a verse describing us. We went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. That's the power of God on display. Whew. I'm worn out just reading this. Philip going on, preaching the gospel, things are happening. The God is working, folks. And let's build a church. Let's get it going. This is revival. This is true revival. And this is happening in Samaria, and let's get this going. Let's get this leadership going. And Philip just stayed there for the rest of his life, for the next 25 years, building this foundation of a church. And you don't see that. You see in verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way it goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." That's super attractive, God. Things are going right here. Why am I going to a desert? This is the oasis. God, you're working. Desert. No people. Right? Or was there one? Verse 27. And he arose and went. You notice he didn't do what I just said, right? He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. For to worship. You know what would have been the temptation for me? I'm just being transparent with you, okay? Big ministry, go to the desert. But God, there is one guy. One guy. I just seen all this stuff happening, and you brought me to one guy? What's going to happen here? This is not a good use of our resources, God. I am Philip. I mean, that's not the way business works, right? Use your resources in the best way possible, in the most efficient way, and use your strategy to make sure it works. I mean, believe me, there is much science and strategy, even with putting that popcorn that you love to get in Kroger. They put that in a specific spot on the shelf to make sure that you buy that, that it's in front of your face. I mean, there is strategy that goes, and they want to put their resources and money wherever they can get the best benefit from it. And yet, here it is. God, why are you doing this? Right? That's my thought. And yet, in verse 36, it says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Whoa, he was ripe for the taking. He's ready to go. God was already working in his life. And Philip said this, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He didn't say, "Let's just go dunk you." You need to believe in Jesus Christ first. If you believe with everything. He said, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, if I would have done all that and wondering, God, what are you doing with this one guy? I would have dropped to my knees immediately and said, sorry, God, I am nothing. You know everything. You have a plan. You know way more than I do. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. They went down into the water, folks, okay? I know that's a totally different subject, but he didn't sprinkle them with the water. He didn't go, spurt, spurt, you know? They went down into the water, folks, okay? And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He didn't say, whoa, that was weird. He went on rejoicing. But then Philip was found at, okay, excuse my pronunciation, Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea. He just kept going. He just kept moving. There was no stopping his step. He was just whisked away. God did what was needed with this man to get his work done, to make his plan happen. And Philip just kept going, kept moving, kept preaching. He was needed for such a time. Sounds like Esther, doesn't it? For such a time as this. She was placed in a certain position at a certain time in order to deal with these circumstances with God's help in moving it around, and God worked in a mighty way to protect the remnant of people for his glory. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this transition? How do we move on? What do we do? We need to delete two words from our vocabulary when God's doing a wonderful work in our lives. Give up the words, I quit. You know what's interesting? The Taylorville Tornadoes, they played a football game on Friday night. And you know, Mason's on the team. Next year, he won't be on the team. You want to know why? Well, hopefully he's going to graduate, right? You're going to graduate, right? Okay, all right. That's what we're hoping. That's what we're praying for. Otherwise, Josh might be a little bit nervous about this whole situation. But there is a change up on the team. Guess what? Coach doesn't sit there and say, oh, I quit. I'm done. I can't deal with this. Well, he might. I mean, losing Mason, he might just quit. There's no going on after Mason, right? No, he uses what he has to get the job done. Now, do they always win? Nope. But I think he's a successful coach by using what he is doing and by continuing forward with who he has, using them to their best of their abilities to try and achieve a goal. If all of a sudden we were to give up and quit because things changed in our life, then what are we saying to God? I don't trust you. God, I can't stand this change in my life. I don't trust you. God, why do you have to take... I mean, I've been working. I'm trying to retire here. I've been working at this job for how long teaching these kids, and yet they keep leaving. God, I don't trust you. God, I don't trust you. Sometimes those kids come back. And God works. Doesn't he? And that's when we have to eat our humble pie. When God works in mysterious ways and he uses different people to come in, we can't say, I quit, because the circumstances have changed, because God is in charge of the circumstances and he wants us to continue forward, working with what we have, who we have, for the sake of the gospel, continuing to preach the word, to give the word out, to hopefully have more people come in. And can I say this? To hopefully have more people go out to preach the gospel. I would love it, as hard as this is, I would love it to send out a missionary from Grace Baptist Church. I would love to be a sending church. Not so we can have the title of sending church, but to say, God, you took a person from our church, you called them out to go and preach the gospel and to start churches in other places. That would be an awesome thing. Would I struggle with one of you leaving, or two, or the whole family? Yes, I would. Because I'd miss you. You're part of the team. You're part of the building. You're part of the local church that is here. But God is continually transitioning our church for the sake of his name, not ours. And so I got to trust in that. But I would love if somebody was in here, knew God was calling them, and finally said, okay, God, here am I, send me. Wouldn't that be cool? Here am I, send me. So as we deal with this, as we move forward, praise God that he puts us where he wants us. And so as we embrace this change, love on the Leonard family for as long as we have them. And I think we're going to have the kids for a few weeks during the summer. So we'll do it even more. They got to go to camp. We'll love on them as much as we can, and pray them on to their new mission field and their new church that they're going to transition into, because God's a good God and he has a plan for them, right? We learn to work with who and what God gives us and say yes when he tells us to go. Preach the word. Preach the word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our church, and going through this, God, for challenging my heart, for using the missionaries this past week to work in my heart with some of the struggles that I was working through. But God, I think we're all working through this and knowing that you do have a plan and trusting you. But God, there's going to be an empty hole. And God, we trust that you will fill that. We trust that you will help us to move forward and to transition. But we pray for Joe, Sarah, Abby, and Carson. We love them. And we pray that you will help them in their next step, in their new journey as they go and they disciple, as they teach others the word. And as exciting as they're saying that there's Bible in the public schools that they get to be a part of, to use that opportunity for evangelism. God, there's so many opportunities that you are going to be throwing their way. Help them as they move to West Virginia. God, we thank you that you have a master plan that we can't mess up. We thank you that you have it all together. May God help us to trust you with it. Help us not to fret, but to trust. In Jesus' name, amen.